Hello, and welcome to Working It from the Financial Times. I'm Isabel Berwick. Experts predicted that the pandemic might put an end to commuting for good, but according to new analysis by the Financial Times, that hasn't happened. The number of people travelling into work is inching up, and some people are going to extreme lengths to get into the office. A growing number have become super commuters, travelling huge distances to show face at work. But can you really stay relevant at work if you live hundreds of miles away? Won't you miss out on all the best office gossip? And is anything worth a five-hour commute? I'm going to hear from two super commuters a little later to find out. Mo Marikar is a Senior Director of Digital Engineering at RBC Wealth Management and travels from North Wales to London once a week. Max Dawes is COO at Zappa, an augmented reality company, and he commutes from the Isle of Wight to London. Before I speak to them, I'd like to welcome my FT colleagues Andrew Hill and Emma Jacobs. They've just written a series of stories about how the commute has changed, and they're going to give us the scoop. Andrew, Emma, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Andrew, you and Emma have just finished this big series on commuting. What has most surprised you about how people are commuting now?
I suppose what was surprising to me was how much it has come back, given all the predictions during the pandemic that it would be changed forever. There were even some wild, exaggerated predictions that it would die off completely. In most cities around the world, it is back short of where it was on public transport from before the pandemic, but, you know, getting there. And I think the forecasts in a lot of cities, Manhattan's one good example, is that actually it will return, and indeed more infrastructure may be needed to accommodate increased commuting.
And when you say more infrastructure, do you mean it'll be heavier on certain days of the week? Because Monday and Friday still look pretty dead to me.
Yeah, that's true of London, certainly, and quite a lot of cities. So the shape of it has definitely changed, and indeed some of the habits of commuters have changed. And since we published the article online, there's been a number of suggestions, for example, that we could have looked at different modes of transport, cycling taking over in the UK, in London. But in a lot of cities, there's this sort of hybrid day emerging where some people who are close enough come in for the first half of the day and then go home to complete their work, or they work remotely somewhere else. So part of the day is spent. And that's definitely happening in New York and to some degree in London.
And you write in one of your pieces that new commuting habits are bad news for some suburbs. I think you mentioned in New York. Can you talk me through that?
The change that's happened in New York is that some of the middle distance suburban areas seem to be losing out, or outside the suburbs, because they're just slightly too far away to do this hybrid day where you come in during the day, but not far enough to make it worthwhile doing more like a super commute or a longer commute. And so you're getting Brooklyn, Queens, parts of New Jersey around Manhattan favoured, and also further out on Long Island or upstate New York also doing better, people wanting to say, I'm going to come in for a proper day or a couple of days and then work for the rest of the time further out.
So I'm really interested in the concept of the super commuter, and we have a couple on the podcast today. Emma, what did you find when you were doing the research?
I found that people were doing a shorter week in London, and there has been a nudge up for people doing a distance of 90 minutes to 120 minutes commute at least once a week. It is 2.4% of the commuting population to just up to 4%. And those doing a commute of 120 minutes at least once a week has gone up from 2.7% to 3.4%. So not massive, but things are still in flux. I did talk to a few people that said that they had moved during the pandemic, thinking that we were going to have this glorious new future where you'd only come in a couple of days a week, you could stay at your mum's or whatever. And actually, now they're being asked to come in so much to the office that they've had to sell their home in sort of rural paradise and return back to the city.
So we've got a shape of commuting now, which is people living quite close, people living very far, people coming into the office certain days of the week, or people coming into the office for part of the day, which I think is really interesting. I want to bring in our super commuters because It sounds like the dream. In the studio, we've got Mo, who's based in Islington and North Wales.
Yes, I live in North Wales, but I stay at my mum's in Islington for part of the week.
Where did you move from? You were in London before, weren't you?
Yes, so in North London before. So I was in West Harrow before that.
And what, did you move during the pandemic?
Yes, it was one of those post-pandemic life re-evaluation moves, yeah.
And what actually motivated your move?
It was partly financial. So, you know, we looked at the mortgage. We were looking to see, you know, could we go somewhere that could still be commutable at a push, but essentially reduce our cost of living. So I moved just over 2 years ago, and I would go to Chester, take the train into Euston, and it was about 2 hours, 2 hours and 10 minutes, something like that. And then our company had this green car scheme, essentially like a company car scheme where you sacrifice part of your salary to get an electric vehicle. At the end of October, I kind of bit the bullet, and now I drive in.
How long does that take you?
So if I'm lucky, 3.5 hours. If I'm unlucky, 4.5 to 5.
What are the upsides and the downsides?
The downside is, you know, driving for a long time. If you don't like driving, you know, if you get bored of your podcast, that could be troublesome. If there's an accident on the motorway, you could be stuck for a while. So those are risks. For some people, I guess that losing so much time is huge. And if, you know, if they don't like listening to stuff, that can be a problem. The upside is there is a significant saving. So before the rates went up, when I think my mortgage was sort of like 1.5%, you know, the good old days, right? It was sort of like $1,500 a month roughly was going on that. That's pretty much gone down to almost nothing now, right? So there's significant saving there. My daughter is in a regular state primary school across the road from where we live. There are 13 other kids in her class, right? So you get a lot more space, cleaner air.
It sounds great. Max, I'd love to bring you in here. Could you tell us your story and why you did what you did and when you moved?
Yeah, absolutely. So Max Dawes, Chief Operating Officer at Zappa. My wife and I have been living in London for 10, 12 years. We had always hoped to make it to the Isle of Wight eventually, my family from him. But the pandemic fast-tracked things. We packed the car overnight when London schools started shutting. We thought we'd be here for a few months. We're still here 4 years later. During the height of the pandemic, we were working completely remotely. My company, Zappa, then introduced a work where you work best policy. I was a beneficiary of that. But after, well, probably the start of this year, I felt like I was missing the benefits of in-person working at the office. So now my Monday, Tuesday, first half of Wednesday, working from home, I get the ferry across from the Isle of Wight to Southampton, and then the bus, and then the train, and then the tube. Often that's about a 4 hour journey in total. And then I spend the Thursdays working from the office, and then I get a late train back. I leave Waterloo at 7:30 p.m. on a Thursday, and I'm home about 10 p.m. on a Thursday night, and then I work from home on Friday.
Brilliant. Thanks, Max. And Mo, how did colleagues react when you first moved?
I don't think they noticed. You know, like you show up to meetings as normal. I don't think anyone realises what's happened, right? They were surprised when I mentioned it, though. And I was actually surprised how many colleagues actually sort of used to live nearby and moved to London for work. Many, many more than I expected. Here, it seems quite shocking to people. You know, Tunbridge Wells is sort of acceptable, but Birmingham, maybe. But once you're sort of more than 150 miles out, it looks people are surprised.
And I just wanted to clear up how you live the rest of the time when you're not at work. So, Max, how is your life different in the Isle of Wight from your previous life in London, just to give listeners a flavour of how things have changed?
My life post the move is pretty different, and it's been absolutely net positive for me and my family, living in a rural area and access to the schools and space. So being able to bring up a family in the countryside in a place that I know and love well, the Isle of Wight, as well as access to London, which is such a brilliant city, and all the energy that comes from that it's been a real best of both worlds situation, and I feel very lucky to be able to do it.
Do either of you miss the social elements of being in London, or can you still go out, Mo?
I do a bit, yeah. So I have a lot of my friends are still live in London. Sometimes they'll organise something last minute and I'll be like, oh God, can I drive 200 miles to this? Right. So I try and sort of remind people that I'm generally in the office sort of in the middle of the week. So try and do something like on a weekday, right? So I would say I've probably lost maybe about 20%, I think, if I was to put a number on it. Yeah, simply because you know, you can't make the impromptu meetups. Yeah.
And Max, do you miss the social aspect or do you still make time for it?
It was one of the reasons that I decided to come up to London more regularly. The work, socialising and maintaining networks and those check-ins with people, maybe going out for drinks on Wednesday evening or lunches on Thursday can be really helpful for maintaining that. When we moved to the Isle of Wight, we thought maybe our social life would get quieter, but it's been quite the opposite. Dinner parties all the time and everyone's always keen to meet up. Although plans tend to get made for the following evening rather than 4 weeks in advance, which is what social life is like in London.
Yes, sorry, Max, that was very London-centric of me to assume you had no social life in the Isle of Wight. I'm really sorry. I think I'm going to ask Andrew and Emma just to throw it forward. In 5 years' time, are there going to be more people like Max and Mo? Emma, what do you think?
I think people will have the confidence to suggest these things, whereas before it was very much on a kind of case by case, you know, am I allowed to do something? Even the idea of coming in later, which I have a very short commute, used to get incredibly stressed about this mythical time that I needed to turn up at. Even though no one cared.
Your lovely boss was not.
No, exactly. Even though you were my boss and all those kind of things. And so I think the point that you can do these things will strengthen people's case for making it. Can I just ask Mo one thing, which is something that did come up with super commuters, this idea that you're missing Tuesday, Wednesday with your kids. So I just wonder whether you felt that there was any loss in that respect.
Not really. So, you know, if I compared to my role in 2019, by the time I got home, my commute was over an hour anyway. It was probably about an hour and 20 on an average day. And bearing in mind, a lot of my colleagues are in North America, so it's not like I can always sort of leave at five, right? So, yeah, I find I'd get home and my kids were younger then. So often there'd be, they'd already had dinner, they might be in bed already. Because I know I'm definitely going to be at home at the beginning and at the end of the week now, I can be a lot more involved. Whereas before I felt I was partly there, you know, throughout the week and only really present on the weekend.
This has been a very inspiring discussion. I just have one question for you, Max. Do you miss the daily commute?
Not one bit.
Mo?
Not at all.
Max in the Isle of Wight, I think, today. Thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And Mo, thank you so much for coming in.
A pleasure.
And Emma and Andrew, thank you for coming down three floors.
Very happy to make the trip.
This episode of Working It was produced by Misha Frankel-Duval and mixed by Simon Panay. The executive producer is Manuela Saragossa, and Cheryl Brumley is the FT's global head of audio. Thanks for listening.